Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's me, it's Mr. LSC. It's not that usual voice you're used to seeing and hearing. JT18Money is going to play my co-host today. You are listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show, again, normally hosted by JT18Money, Black the Bookie, Jeff the Joker, but FSP's along for the ride. I want to say hello to everybody out there listening, and I'm bringing all of the co-hosts today. Because we've got a jam-packed show. We have the guitarist and vocalist for the rock group Smile Empty Soul. He'll be on today to discuss some fantasy baseball. What's up?
What'd you call him?
He's the guitarist and vocalist for Smile Empty Soul.
Okay.
His name is Sean Danielson. We're going to call him up and have him on in a little bit. But in the meantime, in between time, I want to welcome in our co-host for the show, Smile. Why so serious? Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Vic. Hey, Jerry. How are you guys doing?
All right.
And Jeff? You're the indie guy, you're the music guy, so you can jump in. Hopefully you know a little bit about the group. You know I'm not a rock group guy, but...
I looked them up, and I was ashamed. I didn't immediately know who they were, but I'm kind of like an old-school rock guy, and these guys are a little newer, you know what I'm saying? But they, you know, they're legit. They had a gold album, which these days is hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
Sean Danielson also was doing almost like a super group with guys from other popular rock groups. But the thing is, you know, unfortunately for the music business, sales aren't what they used to be. And unfortunately for a lot of people, rock music isn't as popular as it used to be. But, you know, there's still guys like me, you know, flying that flag. And but, you know, I like the real old classic bands like, the Beatles. But, you know, Black Sabbath, Thin Lizzy, Deep Purple, you know, all those kind
all
of bands.
I'm
going to
kill everybody. Death metal. No, I'm joking.
Not
I'm
quite.
Joking.
But, you know, a lot of that stuff that people would say, you know, about these, you know, heavy rock bands was so distorted. You know what I mean? It just was, and it kept a lot of people like, oh, don't listen to that stuff. You listen to that stuff, and then you kill your family, and that's all distorted. I guess maybe kind of like gangster rap, you know, maybe a few years back, people like, oh, you listen to that stuff, next thing you know, you're shooting up the whole neighborhood, you know? That was obviously a distortion, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely right, Jeff.
But the things you don't know, things you don't understand, can be scary, especially when people tell stories and embellish and whatnot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think you reach a certain age, and then there's just like a whole new generation or whatever that you just don't seem to get as far as the popular culture goes. You know what I'm saying?
I gotcha. Well, let me bring in our other co-host, I believe, because I don't know his number by now, but I think it is, I hope it is, the one and only Black the Bookie Monster from the 240. What's going on, Black? That is not Black.
Long Slam.
I would have you on today, Mike. This is my cousin, Mikhail. He's jumping in on the fray today. I don't know if you saw the show title and stuff like that, but we are doing fantasy baseball, and we got a special guest who's going to come on and talk about it. So feel free, you know, jump in, give your thoughts on baseball. But apparently Sean is a very avid baseball fan and fantasy baseball player. So we're going to bring him on in a little bit and, you know, jump on the topic of fantasy baseball real soon and stuff like that. But before we do that, we're going to discuss the main issue of the day that's dealing with baseball. And we're not going to jump on it too long because we'll bring Sean in when we do this. Yasiel Puig. By now, if you are in the, you know, sports and following the news, it's become more than just a sports story. Mr. Puig made it to America from Cuba through a lot of bad and nasty things that a lot of people in the world don't think really exist. They only think it happens in movies. I text Jerry, I think it was early in the week, I'm not sure, when I text him when I found out about it. But on today, ESPN released a 20-page article online. It's not 20 pages, it's not, I'd say about maybe 10, 15 pages of information of this story of how Puig got here to America, he and his cohorts, a couple of his buddies. It's a real story of border jumping, kidnapping, rival ultra gangs going against each other, trying to get this guy here, demanding payment, getting through immigration, ultimately getting signed to a $42 million contract by the Dodgers, and then promptly turned over 20% of his entire contract to this Mexican drug organization that brought him here to America, or finally got him to America because it was two drug organizations. And the story goes on to talk about how a highly sought-after criminal that the United States has on their most wanted list assisted in getting him into the United States. And this is crazy. I mean, immigration laws, sports. Nobody can tell me politics has nothing to do with sports. Ain't no way in the world you can tell me politics has nothing to do with sports. This guy, along with, I believe, two or three other gentlemen, were pretty much hot prospects out of Cuba. And, you know, they were trying to get it out, but every time they tried, something bad happened, and it didn't work. Finally, the connections came together, and a drug lord decided, you know what, I'm going to get him out of here because I'm going to get some of this money, da-da-da-da-da. And then when the money didn't come through right away, a rival drug lord had his organization re-kidnap Puig and these other guys who were with him and, you know, finally got into the States. But there's a long, long story going on here. And real quickly, I want to get some insight from you guys about this before we get Sean on the line. I'm going to start with Mike. I'm going to go to Jeff. And then we're going to finish up with Jerry. And then I'll get Sean on the line.
Product of the times. I'm not really surprised. I don't really think this is. I don't really think this story is too shocking to me. Sound about par for the course right about now. That's all I got.
All right, Jeff and Jerry, it'll be a little long because I got to make a phone call.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I saw this today, as a matter of fact, on ESPN, and. You know, you hear these stories about people coming from you know, especially Cuba, which is still communist country where people aren't free to leave. And, you know, fortunately for all of us, we were all born and raised here. It's just something, you know, I've never had to deal with. I mean, I've heard of people having to sneak out of countries, but I mean, when they say that Puig was brought in by a smuggler, that's a polite way of just saying criminal. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know. It just sounds more polite. And it's kind of like a complicated story. And it was him, they smuggled him, a boxer, some beauty queen, and a voodoo priest. I mean, it's like something from a movie. If you saw this in a movie, you'd say, that's insane. And truth is stranger than fiction. And but this is what it takes to get somebody out of a place like Cuba. And the thing is, he knew enough, everybody involved knew enough, he wanted to go from Cuba to Mexico, not from Cuba to the United States, because if he went to the United States, then he would be in the baseball draft, and he wouldn't get that big of a salary. But if he went to Mexico, established a residence there, then he's a free agent, and then he's stepping into big money. And this guy was not just a prospect. This is a 5-tool outfielder who was pretty much a can't-miss prospect, and he's backed that up. So he was able to command a big contract, and I think his agent even admitted, hey, I had to pay off somebody to get this guy, and it's just, unfortunately, that's the cost of doing business.
Well, you know what? The cost of doing business is very, very shady in the sports world, man. I mean, Jeff, I didn't get to hear everything you said, but the point that I wanted to get across was that, you know, people will do, I mean, this is just like the OJ song, for the love of money. People will do anything for the love of money. I know they have very bad circumstances down there, but the rival drug lords and organizations getting involved in this, this guy goes through immigration and gets processed into the United States in less than 3 days, and then on the fourth day signs a contract after he works out for, I believe, 6 Major League Baseball teams. This is outrageous. It's crazy. It's like, go ahead, Jeff.
What's so outrageous? What is so outrageous? I'm not hearing where the outrage is.
I'm getting to Jerry. I was just saying for my part. Right now we got Jerry. He's going to talk, and then we're going to bring in our guest. So we'll see what he has to say, and then I'll get my part in. So go ahead, Jerry.
You know, I just finished reading an article on ESPN, and one part of the article says that, and this is first I've read of it and probably first of any press or really know about it, that the team hired a security detail since mid part of last June of last season, traveling full time with the Dodgers. Since Puig arrived after a double-A Chattanooga. So they've had a security team. So they've known about this and had an idea what was going on since last season. And he's had a security team traveling with the team full-time. This is crazy, man. I mean, you know, just like people realize, this is a land of opportunity, and a lot of people will take a lot of chances and do a lot of things to come here to get that opportunity to get paid like he's getting paid, even though he may have to give up 20% of it to this Miami businessman who helped him get out of the predicament he was in. So, wow. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I really don't. It's an ongoing saga right now. Let me put it that way.
I'll shed a little light on it. And before I bring Sean in, one of the rival gang members that helped actually get him out of Cuba to Mexico was actually found dead a few blocks away from a hotel that he was staying in when he first got to America. Then, you know, someone else was arrested and then got chopped up or got mutilated a little bit and all this other stuff. These business people that pretty much, you know, do whatever it is they want, yes, it's land opportunity, stuff like that. This is one of the, and I'm not trying to get really, really political on this because I want to bring in our guests and talk, you know, fantasy baseball, but this is a real, real indication that nobody really cares about the immigration laws. Because if they really cared, this guy wouldn't even be playing right now. I know he's a great talent, but this should be like, bing, 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 bing. You know that two rival drug organizations working in Colombia, Mexico, and America got this guy here. You know that a lot of money has been put on the table for this guy to get here. You know this guy has already paid 20% of the entire contract to, you know, to whoever. But let me bring in our guest.
Victor, let me say just this one thing before you go. I'm only going to be 2 seconds. That was hella naive. That was hella naive. When you say things like that, you speak with such a naivete that is just utterly ridiculous. But we're not going to get political. Go on, get to your guest.
Thank you. We'll talk about this probably Saturday. But let me bring in Sean. Sean Danielson, he's the guitarist, and he does vocals for the rock group Smile and the Soul. I kind of did it like that to, you know, put a little spin on it. But this young man is a part of a group that's on a tour called the Civil Unrest Tour. I'm not going to get into how we got connected and stuff like that, but the word is that Sean is a major, major player in fantasy baseball, and he follows baseball. So we're going to bring in Sean right now and welcome him to the FSP Crew Show. So welcome, Sean.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Great, great, great. Welcome to the program. On the line is myself, Vic, FSP. I've got my co-host, Jerry.
How's it going?
Mikhail.
What's up?
As well as Jeff the Joker. He's our rock guy. You guys
awesome.
Kind of sound the same. So you might be from Jersey. Are you a little bit from Jersey, somewhere in that area?
No, he's from California.
Yeah, I'm from Southern California, Los Angeles area.
Right.
Wow, because you sound like Jeff. When I heard your voice the first time, I was like, is Jeff trying to play a game on me or something? What's going on?
We didn't speak long enough for you to hear my my California surfer accent.
Yeah, you definitely have one, my man.
There you go.
You don't talk like me. Right. Forget about it.
Forget about it. All right, bada bing. All right, Sean.
Man, you guys are talking about some heavy stuff, man. I came on here thinking we were going to talk some sports and music and stuff, and you guys are talking about people getting chopped up.
Well, we're going to get to that. I just want to get that portion out of the way before we had a little fun and discuss it. If you have an opinion on it, that would be great. If not, we can jump right into to baseball. But
in baseball.
No, you know, I'm not familiar with the topic you guys were discussing. You know, the Puig getting over here thing. I'd have to read up on it to chime in. So might as well skip that.
So tell me before we get anything else, what type of baseball fan are you? What major league team are you a fan of? The Dodgers?
No, you see, I actually lived when I was born in California. And then when I was 7, I moved to the state of Maine with my mother, and I lived there. I lived there for about 8 years. I played baseball in Little League out there and stuff, so I actually grew up a Red Sox fan.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh, we got a problem.
You guys are Yankees fans, huh?
No, there's one Yankee fan and a Met fan.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Baby, Yankees, all the baby.
There's room for all of us.
Well, we're going to put that knowledge of yours to the test Sean. I mean, you're from the West Coast, rooting for East Coast team. Come on now. But I'm a Nats fan. I'm from D.C. I love the Nats, so I'm a homer.
Nice.
Tell me what you want. But, let's get on here real quick. Let's pump the tour and where you guys going to be at in the next couple of weeks and when you're going to come out here. I know you perform in Sacramento on the 10th of May. But tell us a little bit about the tour, who's on it, and how people can get in touch with you.
Well, the tour, I'm actually in between tours right now. My band, Smile of Your Soul, we tour pretty regularly here, but we start the Civil Unrest Tour, which is the tour you're speaking about, on May 8th, and it's only about a two-week run on the West Coast. It's us, a band called Dope, a band called Otep, and then Wayne Static, who is the singer of a band called Static X for the last, 13 or 14 years. We're doing about a two-week run on the West Coast, and then my band, Smile Empty Soul, continues on for about another 4 or 5 weeks throughout the rest of the country, doing headlining dates and some other dates with just Wayne Static. So we'll be out on the road from about May 8th through June.
Okay. Wow. May 8th happens to be when the NFL draft starts, but that's okay.
Well, I'll be busy. I'll be busy that day.
I hear you.
It's all good. It's all good. Well, I want to wish you guys luck on that tour. And again,
absolutely.
Thanks for all the stuff you guys are doing with the troops up here when you come to Sacramento and all that good stuff.
Definitely.
But
I heard a couple of you guys wanted to come out, and our publicist, reached out and was seeing if we had some extra tickets, and we definitely did. So we're stoked. Hopefully you guys come out and have a good time.
Oh, they're definitely going to come out. We're going to send some folks out there. But let's get on to some fun.
Cool.
Stuff. All right. Exhibit A, Jerry Taylor and myself are in a fantasy baseball league team. Now, from what your publicist said, you are a fantasy baseball aficionado. Right?
Well, I wouldn't call myself that at all. I do play in a league, and I have a blast with it. I think it's just a lot of fun, so I pay close attention to baseball anyway, but I wouldn't call myself an aficionado by any means.
How long have you been playing fantasy baseball, and how many leagues do you play?
This is my third year, and I'm only in one league. I'm in a league with a bunch of the dudes that I actually grew up in Maine with. So they're all back there in the state of Maine, and I'm always out here bouncing around, states on tour or in California, but. It's a great time. I've had a blast for the last few years.
And how did you get into fantasy baseball?
Well, I mean, I've always been a huge baseball fan, and then I still have a lot of good friends in Maine, and one of my friends was like, we got this league going on. You want to be a part of it? And that was a few years ago. I jumped on the first year I was terrible. I think I finished last. Kind of got the hang of how it all works, and last year I did a little better.
That sounds like Victor.
Hey, hold, watch your mouth, man. Watch your mouth. All right, well, I'm going to put you to the test a little bit here. All right.
Sounds good.
Now, we did a draft. Jerry and I made a trade. He lied to me, by the way, but I'm not going to talk about that part.
That's part of it.
Yeah, that's part of it. But let's forget about what we know right now. Let's forget about what we know about right now as far as production-wise. Who do you see as being a sleeper, so to speak, in baseball? Was it a comeback guy? Was it somebody that is a rookie that might be called up like Springer for the Astros? Or who did you see as that one guy that was going to break out this year, or still may break out this year?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I got James Paxton thinking that he might do something good, and he had a couple good starts, but then he got injured. Last year I got Jose Fernandez right away when I heard he was getting called up, and he was my best sleeper of all, and I still got him this year, and hopefully I'll be able to ride him to some glory. But I'm not sure, you know. It's always a tough call. I always try to get a couple of dudes that I feel have potential, and they're under the radar, and see what happens. And, you know, James Paxton got injured, so.
He was one of the people I picked up as well. Actually, last year, I think Jerry was one of the people that jumped on Hernandez, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right, Jerry? Or was it me that picked him up last year?
You.
Okay. Yeah, so I picked him up, and I saw the potential. Now, do you draft or look for potential players, or do you look for somebody that's already had, like, a history of excellence or good play when you're building your team? Because I know what I look for. I think I know what Jerry looks for, but it's interesting you hear from other people.
Well, when we do our drafts, I always try to get, like, you know, several big-name guys that I feel like are super reliable that I can kind of lean on. But then I always kind of end still having some slots to fill, and I go on the waiver wire, and that's when I kind of take my chances with some guys I feel like might be sleepers, you know, picking them up for free to fill my my excess spots that I have left over.
Do you play roto, or is yours head-to-head and or points-driven? What style of fantasy baseball do you play?
In our league, it's head-to-head. You know, we go against one particular opponent for a week, and you know, I'm actually not familiar with any other league, so I'm not sure the different ways that it can go down. But ours is just each week you have a different opponent.
Are you in Yahoo or ESPN?
ESPN.
Okay.
Stick with head-to-head. It's a lot funner, and you get to talk trash to everybody that you play week to week. Roto, I hate it because, you know, that's just me. But stick with head-to-head.
You know what? The trash talking is the best part, man. It's fun. It's just fun because, you know, the guys in my league, they make it great. You know, our commissioner – he's got a lot of clever nicknames for everybody that I can't even say on your show, probably. And
yeah, you can. Go ahead. You know, go right ahead. As long as you don't are not racist, go right ahead.
Oh no, they're not racist. They're just you know, as nasty as you could come up with. But you know, it's definitely a good time to be immature and just talk mass shit.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know. I've been lambasted for the last few years on the same league Vic and I are on, because I'm probably the only one. In fact, I am the only one that talks mad smack on it. I talk smack to the utmost to a lot of the members in the league, and it's all in fun, but a lot of them take it personal. I laugh and have a good time with it, but some of them just can't take it. But that's what it's part of fantasy, whatever you play, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, basketball. Part of that is talking smack to each other if you go head-to-head for a weekend or whatever.
Totally. You know, yes. I find myself a little busy sometimes, you know, being on the road and whatnot. But one of my favorite things is to actually just watch the other guys in my league just talk mad shit to each other. Because they just go to town, and it's hilarious. I can just sit back and read the posts and laugh, and it's a whole other level of entertainment, you know.
That means you would love listening to this program. If I put you on, you would have that, and you would be just laughing. You'd be like, why are they arguing like that? Aren't they related? Aren't they family? Aren't they friends? But that's not going to happen today.
I'll just start tuning in.
Hey, you got to bring some people on as well. Now, listen, since you like the Sox, and since we have two Yankees fans on the line, I want to hear a little, you know, predictions here between the two. So I'm going to start. I got to give my co-host the lead here, Sean. So you're gonna have to play backup. You're going to have to play backup. But Jeff,
that's fine.
Jeff, Let them have it. Tell them how terrible the Sox are and how much better the Yankees are and whatever else you're going to say.
Well,
where's Jeff?
I have to confess, I watch a lot of baseball as a kid. I don't really follow much anymore. But when I was a kid, I could have went off on the Red Sox forever, because back then it wasn't a rivalry. Because for it to be a rivalry, both teams have to be relevant. And but those were the good old days. And I'll tell you, the world ended when the Yankees blew that playoff series to Boston. That was like there was no gravity that day. It was like the end of the world or something. It was like the apocalypse. And you know what? Looking at the big picture, it's nice to let the Red Sox and their fans have a little fun, and then we'll get back to the natural order of things. And but I gotta admit, I grew up a Yankee fan because I grew up about 10 miles away from Yankee Stadium in northern New Jersey. If I hadn't grown up in that area, I'd probably hate the Yankees. Because they're a tough team to like. They're a tough team to root for. There's not a lot of parity in baseball. And the thing is, logically, the Yankees should win a lot because they got the highest salaries. And, the Red Sox could afford the high salaries, maybe a few other teams, but that's it. And that's the way baseball is. It's not parity like the NFL. The great thing about the Red Sox Yankees thing is that there's so much history and culture there in both cities and with both teams that how could you not, if you grow up in that area and you grow up immersed in the culture, how could you not love that team and root for that team? It's a great rivalry, and growing up in Maine, you're so familiar with the history and familiar with everything about it that you have to just have to love it,
I don't gotta love. You know what? Y'all two, forget the Yankees, forget the Sox, even though I like the Sox, and congratulations on last year's victory, World Series victory. Won't go back this year. But anyway, it's all about the Nationals. It's all about the Nationals. I'm just going to put it like that.
They got a good team, man. They got a great team.
Yeah, they just got to get it together. They got to get the pitching back to where it was a year or so ago, and the hitting has always been there. It's just the pitching. They really are the Expos, but whatever. They're the Nationals now.
I'm waiting for Strasburg to actually pitch like he's supposed to pitch. Like I drafted him yet last year. At a pretty high price because I thought he was going to be golden last year, and it was just the weirdest year, and it just seems like he never has that year that everybody expects from him.
Well, he's young, and I don't think his whole body has matured. So him throwing 100-something miles per hour, on that body type. He's not a big guy, so, it is what it is. But hopefully he'll get it together. But right now, we got a caller.
Hey, Vic, did you hear that?
Can you hold on, Mike?
The violin is playing.
Mike, hold on.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Hold on. We got a caller from 207. I'm not sure if you're familiar with anybody from
207. Dude, that's one of the guys in my league. I guarantee it. That's Maine.
Oh, we're about to find out. Caller from the 207. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics Crew Show. I am Vic. You are on with the crew as well as Sean. And apparently you're from his league. Is that about right?
That's 100% correct, sir.
What up?
Your name is?
This is Jason Bicknell, and I'm sitting here with the commissioner, Darren Cook, Esquire. You have to call
Esquire.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, I'm asking you guys: are you two the guys that talk a lot of, for lack of a better word, a lot of shit in the league?
Absolutely, it's part of the game. 95% of the game is mental. 95%. You got to get in their head.
Okay. So since you're on the line, and Esquire, I think he's the lawyer of the bunch, how are we going to finish the season? Or how's the commissioner set up the league so that it's an exciting season all summer long? Because Sean's going to be on tour. You know,
well,
he's not able to do a lot, but talk to us.
Well, he's done a great job. You know, I saw the potential in Sean a few years back. He and I actually played the league together back in days in Brewer, Maine. So
back when we were like 11.
That's right, man. That's right. So I know he's got a very competitive edge. He knows his stuff. Sean, he knows a lot about baseball. And last year he actually finished the regular season in first place. And, you know, he's a great guy. So I think what I do in my league is I have little side bets. I have trophies. We said that we have a we go head-to-head. We have 12 categories each week that you could win. If you win all 12 categories against your opponent, we have what we call a scorched earth trophy. Sean, the very first week of this league, won the scorched earth trophy. That son of a bitch won first week.
You know,
all I know is first week.
You sound like me as
yep,
a commissioner.
It was a
yep.
good week.
I talk about Jerry. I talk to Jerry the same way as a commissioner. I like
him. And then what we do is at the end of the year, obviously whoever wins the World Series, I have a trophy called the Minge Cup, which you can win. Every single winner, it's almost like the Stanley Cup in terms of each previous winner. And the year is etched on it for all eternity, for all glory. And, you know, I think my name's going to be on this year. I'm not going to lie.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, okay, fellas. It's like this. Your league sounds very competitive, very fun, very similar to what myself and Jerry, and I am the commissioner of our league. I try to get my guys to win a trophy.
So you and I are in league tomorrow being commissioner to commissioner then.
Yeah, we're going to have to. But all they want is the money. They don't care about a trophy. Football, yeah, I give them money and a trophy. But in baseball, all they care about are the greenbacks. We do a 10x10. So it's all types of categories, blown saves, holds, strikeouts, runs. I used to do at-bats and stuff like that, and I would do total bases. So what makes it, and I'm talking to Sean and the commissioner now, what makes it interesting for you guys, other than the shit-talking and the friend, you know, the friendship, what makes it so interesting to compete in your fantasy baseball league?
Well, I'll field this question first off. Each team puts in $50. There's 12 teams in the league, so at the end of the kitty, it's about $600. So there's a good deal of money riding on it. Pride, obviously, most of all. Most of the guys in this league are pretty close friends with each other. So, you know, it's just that sense of pride knowing that, you know, you conquered everybody that has shit-talked you the entire season. You bested them, and now you can just shove it right in their face.
Yeah.
I like what you said there. Shove it right in their face. Absolutely.
Yeah, you have the Minge Cup just to have your name on it for all eternity, and it ain't going anywhere. So that's a pretty big part of it as well.
The Minge Cup. Yeah.
You can display that shit in your house too.
You
hang out with all your boys, right? And if you've won the previous year, you get the Minge Cup, and your boys come over and you're hanging out, and you're like, hey. What's that fucking trophy over there? That's the
Minge Cup. That's
when I came first fucking
place.
You guys came, what was that?
Are
you in the basement, 13? I didn't even know
you could
get that
low. Is it actually a cup? Is there a cup involved in the Minge Cup? You could drink out of it. You could use that to drink out of in front of your friends if you want.
Oh, wow.
You say your friends come over and you say, "Oh, could you please go grab that bottle of Jaeger and fill it up for me? I'd like two or three shots in the cup and hold it while I sip it."
two or three or four or five shots in the cup, please.
Yeah. in the holder of the minj can delegate somebody to drink at any given time. That is a fact.
So hold on. Sean, you won this your very first year?
No. My very first year, I think I was last. And then last year was my second year, and I didn't win. I finished first in the regular season, but then I got knocked out, I think, the round right before the World Series.
Okay.
But if Sean did, in fact, win, protocol states that the Minj Cup would be packaged and FedEx to his house, so he'd have it in California, wherever he resides. You have it on during the off season, and the entire regular season until the trophy claims another victim, type of thing.
I'd probably take it on tour with me and take pictures with it all over the country.
I'm like a fan, you know, the plan and stuff like that. And someone's talking smack to you during your head-to-head matchup. You know, people are like, "Oh, I'm sorry. My name's on the cup. What have you done for me lately? Nothing. You know, it's like scoreboard."
Yeah. You know what I do too is I put the Minj Cup on my guitar amp every night on stage too, just to rub it into you guys. Send you a YouTube video to our show.
Hey, that would be great. Take the Minj with you.
That's what happens, guys. Now check it out. It sounds like you guys have a lot of fun with this. So I want a little feedback here. Who was the first player taken overall in the draft, and who picked?
I can't remember now.
Well, we don't have a snake draft. Our draft is auction, so whenever somebody's up, it's just to put them on the auction block. I can tell you the most expensive player was Robinson. It was Troy Tulowitzki for $51.
Tulowitzki for $51?
Yeah, he went for $51.
I mean, it's all relative, right? I mean, but we have what's our roster? 16?
25,
right? And what was that, 300?
$300 was his budget.
So you start out with $300 budget. So, I mean, you're talking, one player, at 25, that's a huge dent in your budget. But for some reason, Tulowitzki went high, I mean.
Let me ask you guys something. All right, you probably don't have any keepers, so every year you draft right from scratch. What did
no,
Mike?
We do. We have keepers.
You
we
do
have
keepers.
Yeah, we have three keepers.
You have three keepers. Okay.
Yep.
And Mr. Kamish, how do you handle your keepers? What's the scenario in keepers?
It's kind of changed from year to year based on league opinion, but as of right now, just to keep things simple, whatever auction amount they were drafted for the previous season, you get to keep them for that amount. However, if you pick somebody, like, say, off waivers, which you didn't draft, so they didn't have a draft value, you can choose to keep them for the next year for $5 flat.
So, you know, that's
a little incentive to kind of go digging for the diamond in the rough, so to say.
Yeah.
Go digging.
Go ahead. So just to be clear, so you know you drafted Tulowitzki for $51 last year, and you want to keep him. Everyone starts out with $300, but you know you're going to get $300 minus $51 to start. So you have to be careful. You know you want to keep the big bats and the heavy hitters, but you also want to draft for the value because that affects how much money you have to spend in the draft.
Oh yes.
What Darren has done here that I think is brilliant is, and what keeps the league so active and makes it so crazy, and us checking our smartphones 15, 20 times a day with updates and league, all the time, is the fact that if you get that stud, like if you get Pui, or if you get someone for real off the wire who just has a breakout star, you get to keep them for eternity for $5 if you choose to.
That's so why I got Jose Fernandez for $5.
Exactly.
You can choose to keep it forever. Excuse me, I hate to interrupt you, but speaking of Fernandez, Sean, we do have that trade intact, correct?
He's
supposed to be intact today, so.
Darren's trying to wrestle Jose Fernandez from me at the moment, but I don't think it's
not the let me ask you something there, Sean. Since he's trying to get Jose Fernandez from you, what is the parameters of the trade? What's he asking you or giving to you for Jose Fernandez?
Well, it started. Yeah. He hit me up last night and he wanted Evan Gattis from me because I've got Buster Posey and Evan Gattis because part of my strategy is to try to have catchers that have eligibility at other positions and have a
right.
couple of them because they stick catchers so much, you know. So he's trying to wrestle Gattis from me, which I don't want to trade anyway. And then in the middle of the conversation, he's like, "Oh, I want Jose Fernandez too." So then I sent him a fake trade offer saying, "How about Jeremy Guthrie and Desmond Jennings for Jose Fernandez and Evan Gattis?"
You heard
joke,
it right
and
there.
You thought I was
great,
being
great
serious.
Verbal agreement amongst gentlemen.
I'm the commissioner, so I can just take it off his team if I want to.
There's no gentleman. Not here.
Sound like Jerry. That sounds like Jerry. Now listen, I got two things. I'm gonna go back to this one, and I'm gonna go back to the trade in a second. Smack whoever it is that paid $51 for Tulowitzki, because he'll be hurt by the middle of the season. That was an idiot move. Just my thoughts. Second,
Tulowitzki's
on
a
this
bitch.
Say again.
I said Tulowitzki's a bitch, and I just say that because I was bidding for him, and it went too high for me.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. But on the premise of this trade, this is just outside you looking in, because Jerry and I, we have very similar thoughts like you guys do. Our trades go very similarly. He gives me a BS trade. I counter with a bigger BS trade, and then we're on the phone like for an hour, hour and a half trying to hammer out a trade. Your strategy, Sean, of maintaining a guy that'll play multiple positions is solid. However, Gattis is a high strikeout guy too. So if he's your spot player, so to speak, because you got Buster Posey, okay, great. But if he's willing to take him off your hands, and let's say maybe some money or an opportunity to bid on a player because you got to do auction style, you might want to consider it. This is just my opinion. If he's
nice.
Going to give you a very, very respectable player, we're not talking about a prospect. If he gives you Springer from Houston, we don't know if Springer's going to go back down. He shouldn't, but if he stays up, that's a guy I would consider for Gattis because, one, the kid hits. He hustles, and he has power. So that's one guy I would try to do it for. But we're not in your league, but that's just my opinion. I would like to hear from Jerry and give you a little bit of advice from his perspective. That's what he would do in this situation.
Let's hear it, Jerry.
I wouldn't give up Jose Fernandez. He would have to come with a lot for me to give up Jose Fernandez. He's too young.
Oh, yeah.
He's got huge upside, and he's not. That's not a guy with potential. This is a guy that is proven. I mean, this is his second year, but he's a solid pitcher, and he's a very durable pitcher.
Dude, you know what's funny? You know what's crazy is that last year, I pulled Fernandez off the waiver wire in the beginning of the year last year, I had him all year, and he killed for me. But then at the end of the year, I needed a little bit of offense in that second to last round, so I offered up in the league. I said, anybody that wants Jose Fernandez, I was like, I got him off the waiver wire, and he's going to be one of the best pitchers next year. I was like, he's available right now if somebody gives me some real offense for him. And
he
nobody
did.
Would go for it. Nobody
wow.
would go for it.
Wow.
That's another thing with our league, though, is that if you're not in the playoffs, you can't make trades with people in the playoffs. It keeps people from having collusion.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a rule.
No, remember, because you tried to do that, and then Darren – rules with a goddamn iron fist. That's what you have to do. You have to have rules, otherwise it's chaos.
That's true. I can see that. I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, I remember us talking. You're probably zoned or I don't know, whatever. But, like, I'm telling you what, though. Like, the one thing, though, with that Hernandez is that what's great about the league and the way Darren set it up is that when it comes to trades, yes, Hernandez is a bomb pitcher, but the fact that you can keep him for $5, you know, moving forward, that even increases his value.
Sure.
So, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
No, because Hernandez's true, like, auction value in our league would probably be, this year would probably be $20, $25. So you're getting him at a $20 discount. So what's really been proven in our league and what's really increased the competitiveness of it is that little wrinkle in the fact that with having the keepers, and it makes everyone scour that goddamn wire constantly. So there's our wires take clean. People are adding and dropping people like crazy. It's
true.
It's nuts because the incentive is there because if you can get, I mean, you got Hernandez last year. Who are you going to get this year? You could get 3 stud pitchers, you know, after 2 or 3 years and only be paying $15.
And based on that, I had a guy pick up Mike Trout off waivers a couple years ago. Mike Trout is still $5 in this league.
Is he?
That's crazy.
Arguably the best hitter in baseball right now with Cabrera is $5 goddamn dollars because the guy picked him off the waivers before he got called up and kept him.
Wow.
Well, yeah,
I didn't realize
that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about with Springer. You know, this guy just got called up. And he's a new Mike Trout, except for the Astros, which is going to suck. But they need offense. They need offense. And Fowler is providing some, but he needs help. And Springer's going to do it. Now, the one thing I have to say to you, Sean, about Hernandez, I would not get so attached to him that I would not trade. This is just my thought process here. He's on a team that can't get him wins. He's going to get you strikeouts.
True.
He's
very true.
Innings, but Miami does not win games for him.
I know. Hernandez just the other day struck out 10 and got a no decision every time.
Exactly.
You know.
Because he played
and that was against
sport.
My Nats. That was against my Nats.
Yep. Hey, they'll probably be good soon, though. Give them a year or two, you know.
Hey, it is what it is, guys. But listen, I got to do some business here because I got about 7 minutes left alive there. We can continue the conversation, no problem. There's a couple things I got to do before we do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Cruise Show every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com, sponsored by fantasysportsbookandcasino.com. where players win and winners play. Go there today and place your wagers. Also, on Fridays, we have No Chaser with Matt Williams and Jerry Taylor. That is a show that has no limits. Anything and everything is said on that show. If you dish it, you better be able to take it too. So whatever you say goes there. Jerry and Matt will be there this Friday. Probably just Jerry, I'm not sure. We'll talk about that later. On Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's Mr. FSP, along with JP ATM Money, talking about the week in sports. Hot topic this week, Yasiel Puig. How he got into the country, how he's staying, and where's all his money going. That's going to be the topic this week unless something else pops up. Then on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, JT's back with the master plan. Where this week I got a feeling he's going to tell everybody how I am whooping his butt in fantasy baseball in our matchup, and then he's going to say something like, it's never over, Vic is going to lose, and then Monday I'll beat him. So, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not happening. You must be on those drugs again. Gotta be.
Whatever. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, every Thursday you're back here at 8 p.m. Standard Time with the same program with the cruise show. Doing what we do because we do it for you. 4 shows, 3 networks, blogtalkradio.com, spotonradio.webs.com, and fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Check us out. We're streaming 24/7, 365. If you want to sponsor us, more than happy to have you on there. All right. That's our business. Now we're going to get back to the business of fantasy baseball. Sean, you've heard what we've had to say. about Hernandez. You heard what we had to say about Gattis, about your trade. I want to say one thing, really. I like your commissioner. He's got a set on him, and he's like Roger Goodell and David Stern, and I like him. One thing that we do in our leagues, we limit transactions per week. So I give each owner six transactions to do per week. And you can bid. You have a free agent wire, you know, like $5, $10, whatever it is you want to do it. You have $100 for the entire season.
Ah.
You might want to think about that. It's just something to think about. It goes on with the auction format. So not everybody's going to get every player. But if you find that stud like Mike Trout or whoever on the waiver wire and nobody really has him, you put in a bid, he's on your roster, and maybe that's how much they actually get deducted per season from their next upcoming draft. Just a thought process, Commish. We got to work together on this to make both our leagues successful. And you guys are more than welcome to come join one of ours if you want. So with that being said, I open the floor to you, Sean, and the Commish.
Well, that's actually a pretty good idea. What I do for this league is I give each owner 80 total acquisitions throughout the year. So from day one up until the last day of the World Series, they can pick up 80 total players. So it kind of puts it on the owner themselves to be smart. You know, I mean, in the beginning of the year, they're going to want to go out there and grab every young stud that's getting called up and everything. But then come the end of the year, when you're in the playoff time, you might want an extra start from somebody, and you're down to, you know, one or two acquisitions, you kind of screwed yourself at the beginning. So I just leave it wide open and let the owners decide how they do.
And having said that, we've limited it so you can, yes, it's 80 total acquisitions for the year, but for a head-to-head matchup, you're only allowed 7. So, you know, that's if you want to go balls to the wall, and I'll tell you what, first year of this league, I was in the World Series. I lost by one hit. And I clawed my way through the playoffs by adding and dropping streaming pitchers, 7 a week. I got to the World Series. I had no more acquisitions left. My opponent was adding and dropping batters, and he beat me by one hit. So it just goes
wow.
to show you've got to use your strategery.
That's right.
All right, George Bush, the teacher in. Okay, here's what we got. I know one of my co-hosts hasn't said much because he's a Yankee fan, but Jeff, you've listened to this entire show. Do you have anything to say to Sean or the commissioner of his league or the lawyer, Mr. Esquire of the league?
Well, I'd like to thank them for joining us in something I want to interject. I don't play fantasy baseball. I'm a big fantasy football guy. Well, I think I am at least. But it's very interesting from what I've read that the auction format is much more popular in baseball, and I actually play in a football league that's auction. I love that league. You know, it's auction, it's keeper, it's salary cap. It's more complicated than trigonometry, and I love that league. And I really think supposedly auction is slowly becoming more popular in football. But I think it's more challenging than, you know, the snake draft. And I think it's an interesting way to go.
Absolutely agree. I won't be part of a snake draft anymore.
I'm
auction or nothing all the way.
I mean,
I've never done the snake draft, but the auction thing, it makes it exciting that just because it's your turn, I mean, it doesn't guarantee you anything. You know, you just put
exactly.
a guy on the block.
Exactly.
What's the bottom line with the auction draft? I mean, besides the keepers, is that if someone gets nominated and you want to pay enough for them, you can have them on your team. So that means you can go into a draft and you can formulate a strategy. And you can be like, you know what, I want Miguel Cabrera because someone didn't keep him because he went for too much last year. And I'm going to pay up the nose for Miguel Cabrera, and then I'm going to get Joey Votto because I need hits, and I'm going to own OPS. You know, like, you can attack it like that, and you can get those players. With snake draft, you know, you random, and you're like, oh, you got the 11th pick, then guess what? You know, you got, you don't have a shot at any of the top tier players right in the beginning. So it takes some randomness out of it, adds some strategy, and I'll tell you what, this commish, this league has been crafted and formulated, and I think it's the best baseball rule format with the competitiveness, with keepers, auction format, acquisition limit. It's been crafted to the point where it's very meticulous, and I think it's near damn perfect.
It's a well-oiled machine. It's a well-oiled machine.
Well-oiled machine. Well, okay, we've been talking about this league. What's the name of this league so folks can, like, if they want to check out what's going on, they can go to ESPN and look it up?
It's Full Frontal Assault. Just Full Frontal Assault. It's in its fifth season. Every year just gets better than the last. We have a really good active group of guys. I handpicked them myself, and I will not let them, you know, I've had to kick a couple people out for actually not being active. And that's
oh, my God, this guy is iron-fisted, I can tell you that. He does not play. He does not play.
I need people setting their lineup so people aren't getting wins that shouldn't get wins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And you know what, you know, we set up with ESPN, we set up this thing with you can embed some HTML code, like, you know, disclaimer, me and Darren are both IT dorks, but we set up a thing with a chat box on the league page. So people are always going to the league page, and Darren always has these awesome topical write-ups, talking shit, talking smack. But in the C box, the chat box, people are constantly talking smack to each other. And then on top of that, we also have a Facebook group. So people in the league, and the only people in the league are allowed to be in it. So you can be as colorful as you want on the side. you can't escape the league. You're checking your Facebook, but then you're like, oh, God, I got 27 updates on my Full Frontal Assault group, you know. So it's just constant. Our wives hate us.
It's constant to the point that I don't know about any of you guys, but my fiance is getting tired of me looking at my phone at this point.
Domestic bliss, my
friend.
Hey, you tell her this. you gonna get tired of me looking at a phone, or tired of me looking at some other female?
That's a good point, man. It's a good point.
You gotta do it. Dude,
it's like going. We have the draft all together, like we all draft together, we all get together at our boy Ray's house or whatever, and, you know, I'm getting my backpack, I'm putting in my fifth of vodka, whatever, and it's like going off the war, you know. My wife looks at me, she's like, it begins, and she gives me a stink eye. I'm like, goddamn right.
Stink eye.
Yeah, I'll see you in seven months, baby.
I'll see you in 7 months, girl. You gotta wait for me.
I'll see you in 7 months.
Wow.
You'll see me, but I won't see you.
Yeah.
God, it's like once the season ends, it's like, hey, you wanna go get a cheeseburger? You wanna go out and date?
Oh, wow.
I forgot you were here.
Please don't treat her one like that. Take her out once in a while, guys. Take her out once in a while.
Oh, we do. I take her out to, you know, let her pick off the dollar menu, anything she wants. Dollar.
Oh. Dollar menu.
Hey, oh, wow. You get that Diet Coke.
Okay, check it out. We got to get ready to go because I know Jeff has to get ready to get out of here as well. Listen, it's been a great time having you guys on. Sean, I hope you had fun. You had your league come on. You got to pump your group and your tour.
Ask him about Twitter and Twitter. How to get contact? Keep contact with him and or his group.
Yeah, you know, you can find us at smileemptysoul.com. We also have Facebook, a Twitter, and Instagram, all those things. Also, our newest album, Chemicals, came out in October, which is what we're supporting right now on the road, and definitely check that out. All of our albums, we have 6 albums out. They're available, you know, online, Amazon, BestBuy.com, in stores, iTunes, all those places. So just check us out wherever, and, you know, come see us on the road.
I've been good friends with Sean since I was young, but they put on a hell of a live show. So, I mean, even if you haven't, I mean, even if you're not totally into, like, music or whatever, like, that type of genre, they put on a hell of a, they put on an awesome show.
He's going to have the news cup on top of the amp. That's what he's going to do. I want to see that on top
That's right. It's like you said, trophy. It's going on the amp.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for listening to the program. We had a couple of people that called in, but I couldn't get to them because you guys were having such a great time. And we were having a great time, too, because we don't always talk fantasy baseball on Thursday show because Jerry has a plethora of topics he and Jeff and Mike talk about. But I want to thank you for coming on, Sean, bringing in your league and the commissioner and the lawyer. So you guys
our pleasure. Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us, and it was really fun, man. It was a blast to do an interview that I didn't just talk about my band over and over again. You know, it's nice to talk about another topic, so it was fun.
Whenever you guys want to come back on, matter of fact,
anytime you want to have us back on, we'll be back here. This has been an absolute blast.
For sure,
man. I need an all-star breakdown, like who's in the league. Who's in the lead of the league, and then at the end of the season, I want to be able to crown that champion on our show.
Oh, I like that,
good, man.
Or whatever it is,
I like
you want.
Yep,
I like
so,
it.
I
like it. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen for sure.
Absolutely,
not a problem. Sean, I got your contact information, Sean. I'll let your publicist know. You guys are welcome to come back whenever you want, talk about whatever you want, and commish. You got the phone number to the show, but I'm going to shoot my information to Sean's publicist. Get my information from there, and we can talk. We can strategize here. We can strategize to rule the world.
I'll talk baseball any day. You give me the platform. I'll
hey, don't trust him. Don't trust him.
Hold on.
We're going to get on the show.
No. I was going to end the show, but now I got to bring it up. Speaking of don't trust somebody, Sean. I want to get your thoughts on this. And Kamish, I'll go with Sean and Kamish.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Let's say you and the Kamish, Sean, you know, y'all are friends, good friends. You make a deal in the draft if you did a snake draft. Whereas you had the third pick, he has the fourth overall pick. You make a deal with him to give him your first-round pick if he selects certain people that he promises he's going to select. And he says yes. So you make the trade with him. And then when the draft comes, he does nothing of the sort. And
he's out of the league. That's dishonor. You're dishonoring the league right there.
He's out of the league.
Oh, man.
He's worried in this life.
That's rough, dude. That's rough.
But he's your friend, and you don't want to have any hard feelings.
But that's like
but
a handshake deal, though. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like a pre-deal. I don't quite, you know what I'm saying? Because most deals, you know, I know in some leagues you can trade picks, but usually it's, you know, players for players. You know, there's not usually drafting a guy then a trade. You know what I'm saying? That just makes it slightly different, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm unfamiliar with that format, but it seems a little shady. I don't know. I can't really take 100%, but...
Hey, first and foremost, there are no friends in fantasy baseball.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
No friends. That's the guy I'm talking about. Everybody's out to win. Everybody's went out to win that prize. You know?
Right.
What else is there? Jerry, what do you expect? That's the Esquire. That's the lawyer. Of course he's going to say that. Of course he's going to say that.
I was kidding about the lawyer, but I'm not a lawyer.
I know, I'm just calling you that. I'm just calling you that, my friend.
I like it, though. I kind of like it. Maybe I'll go by the lawyer now. I like that.
It doesn't suit you.
It doesn't not suck.
It does not suit you.
It doesn't not suck. Hey, guys, we should do this again. I know you guys are going to roll. We're probably going over, but let's do a weekly fantasy baseball podcast. I think this is going to be tight.
Hey,
we got the rock star, we got the commission, you guys are pretty cool, so appreciate it.
It's not a problem.
The pleasure is all ours, man.
Work it out. Thanks for coming on. We greatly appreciate you guys. I'll give you this. And to the one that said there are no friends in fantasy baseball, oh, you get this.
Nice.
And for the commissioner, you are my friend, and because you are the commissioner, I must give you this, my friend. This is wonderful.
Absolute power. Corrupts.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, I got a great group of guys around me, so I wouldn't be the commissioner I am today without Sean, the lawyer here, and everybody else that's in this league, so I appreciate it.
I'm humbled. That's cool. I'm not humbled. Put it off.
I say that now, but then I'm going to go in the C-box and talk some massive shit about them later on.
All right, so I got to whip around, the panel with my guys before we get out of here. So you stay on the line for a few seconds, guys, and listen to what we got to say, or you guys can drop off. But thank you very much for coming on. Jeff.
Thanks for having us, man. Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem.
Hey, Sean, go fuck yourself.
And Trimmy Fernandez.
Nice.
Wow.
Hey, please him. Please him, Sean. Please him if you want Fernandez. Please, please the living goodness out of him. All right. Jeff, what you got going
on?
You got it, man. I'm sorry. What'd you say, Vic?
What you got? Parting shot.
Oh, parting shot. Well, it's been a pleasure. I'd like to thank my co-host and our guest, and rock on.
JCA
Cabrera's on the block.
Pull the trigger. Go ahead, Jesus, Jerry.
Well, I want to thank, this has been a different show. We haven't gone into the realm of rock and roll, but we've talked a lot of baseball, which is always good because I'm a big fan of baseball, and especially talking a lot of shit, and I'm a big fan of that, as always. It's been a pleasure. Tune in tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be the No Chaser. I'll definitely be there. I imagine Mac will be there, and it'll be more of a unadulterated talk, conversation, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place, same bat channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. FSB sitting there for JTN Money. Do what I do because I do it for you. I want to thank our guest, Sean Danielson, Smile, Empty Soul, and his commissioner, and the lawyer, for coming on today's show. You got the moniker now. I just gave it to you. And having some fun today. And speaking of fantasy baseball, having fun with it. We're going to welcome them anytime they want to come on. All they got to do is just say when. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show. And we do what we do because we do it for you. We'll see you next Thursday. We're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew, yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew, yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew, Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew, yeah. Log on.